Hope everyone is having a good Sabbath. Wanted to share with you a few headlines from Drudge. Gang fights at Black Friday sale. Man punched in face, pulled gun on line cutting shopper. Customer run over in parking lot. Some of these things happened yesterday. Now I wonder why this happened. Thousand storm Victoria's Secret. Shoplifter tried to mace security guard. Man steal boy's shopping bag outside of Bed Bath and Beyond. So aren't we glad that we've been called away from some of the stuff? The sound of footsteps echoed throughout the prison chamber. An unexpected visitor approached the door. The prisoners could hear muffled voices outside. Suddenly the door swung open and the guards looked hastily about. They grabbed hold of one of the prisoners, a man of about 30 years old, and hurried him out the cell. Once outside, the prisoner had a new set of clothes shoved at him, and he was told to bathe and to shave. And so while he was complying, his mind was racing. Where are these men taking me? And for what reason? The guards hurried him out the prison and set him in front of the king of Egypt, the most powerful man of his day. The king opened his mouth to speak, but little did the young man know that before the conversation would end, that his life would be changed forever. The young man's name was Joseph, and the king was Pharaoh. As we know, Joseph's brothers had sold him years ago, 13 years earlier, when he was 17 years old. That's in Genesis 37, 25 through 36. After being wrongfully accused of assaulting his master's wife, Joseph was thrown into prison. Genesis 39 and verse 20. Only to be released years later in such astounding circumstances. As we know in the story recorded in Genesis, we find that after 13 years of bondage and then imprisonment, Joseph was suddenly released by Pharaoh. Joseph had been having disturbing and troubling dreams. And so let's pick up the story in Genesis 41. Genesis 41 and verse 16. Genesis 41 and verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, now he's been in prison now for 13 years, and this was Joseph's attitude. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So he was still relying on and trusting in God after being in prison for 13 years. Verse 17, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the banks of the river, and suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And then behold, this is in verse 19, seven other cows came up after them, poor, very ugly, gaunt, such ugliness as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and the ugly cows ate up the first seven cows, the fat cows. Verse 21, then when they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had been eaten by them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Verse 22, also I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full of good, full and good. Then behold, seven heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, and there was no one who could explain this. No one. Verse 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, these two dreams are one. These two dreams are one because God has shown Pharaoh what God is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. Verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. Verse 32, and the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. And let's look at 33 through 35. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh, this is Joseph speaking here, giving him advice, let Pharaoh select a discerning and a wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this. And let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plenty years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. So Joseph's suggestion that a wise and a diligent manager be appointed to collect grain in preparation for the drought that was to come. And so, as we know already, brethren, Pharaoh chose Joseph for this important task, laying the groundwork to save Egypt and all of the surrounding nations from ruin. We find that in Genesis 41, 56, and 57. And as we know, under Joseph's hands, Egypt prospered. News had traveled afar that there was grain in Egypt. How do we know? Because Jacob, the father of Joseph, sent his brothers to Egypt to buy grain. Let's go down to chapter 42 now. Chapter 42, beginning at verse 5. Chapter 42, beginning at verse 5. And so the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for famine was in the land of Canaan. So it was already in the land of Canaan. It was already throughout Egypt, all of the surrounding nations. And here in verse 6, now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold Joseph was the one that sold the land to all the peoples of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed before him with their faces to the earth. And so we see here that God used the prosperity in Egypt to reunite Joseph with his brothers and also to help provide grains for all of the surrounding countries during this time of drought. The story of Joseph's ascension from prison to power is still a testimony of how God works in the lives of people and nations to bring about his purpose and his will to fruition. So what do we learn from this? That we have to wait and rely on God. I titled this sermon, Joseph, Truly a Thanksgiving Story. Truly a Thanksgiving Story. This must have been a grand reunion between Joseph and his brothers. Let's go over to chapter 45 and begin at verse 3. A grand reunion. Joseph's brothers bowing there before him, him being the governor of Egypt, the one in charge of selling the grain. And here we see the brothers bowing before Joseph here in verse 3. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to what? To preserve life. See, God was all in the plan, was working in the life of Joseph to bring this all about. Verse 6, for these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. So we know that he saved up grain for 7 years. They were already in the famine for 2 years. So this had been about 9 years since Joseph first spoke to Pharaoh about the dream. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance, a type of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, he made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. God was doing this. And so he said here in verse 9, hurry, go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. And you shall be nearer to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flock, your herd, and all that you have. And so we see here, this was truly a Thanksgiving story. That God used Joseph to help save his brothers and sisters, his brothers and nieces, nephews, son, father and mother. And all of the surrounding nations. In verse 11, there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. Still 5 years of famine. Now let's go over to chapter 49. This was some years later. Jacob had gathered all the sons around him to tell them what was going to befall them in the last days in our time. And here in verse 22, let's see what happens to Joseph. 49 in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, that is a branch of a tree, a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. We're going to come back and see what this means. Verse 24, but his bow remained in strength, and the arm of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the God of your fathers who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breast and blessings of the womb. Verse 49 and verse 26. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of your ancestors, up to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. And they shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of his head, of him who has separated him from his brothers. Now, I went to several commentators, and all of them were no help. There were no help. Now, I did find help in our booklet, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, explaining these scriptures here. And so let's see what we wrote about these scriptures. Joseph is like a grapevine, it's what we wrote, that produced much fruit. A healthy vine, watered by a spring, whose branches grow over the walls. Archers attack him violently and shoot him at him angrily. But he aims his bow well. His arms are made strong. He gets his power from the Almighty God of Jacob and his strength from the shepherd. The Rock of Israel, your father's God, helps you. God Almighty blesses you. He blesses you with rain from above, with water from that springs below, with many babies born to your wives, and many young ones born to your animals. This is what God wanted for the descendants of Joseph. The descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh. Greater than the good things of the long-lasting hills. Greater than the good things of the long-lasting hill. May these blessings rest upon the head of Joseph. On the forehead of the one who has separated him from his brothers. And by the way, the United States and Britain in Prophecy was quoting this from the New Century Translation. And so these blessings were passed on to the descendants of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Why were they passed on to Ephraim and Manasseh? Well, we find the answer in the Bible, 1 Chronicles 5. We find the answer here in verse 1 and 2. Why weren't they passed on to Reuben, the firstborn? 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1 and 2. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. So we see that that birthright blessing was passed on to the descendants of Joseph. So Joseph's descendants became specially blessed by God. Like a fruitful vine with a never-ending supply of water, inspiring their constant growth, their population would multiply rapidly. They would expand to lands beyond their original borders. Great military strength, and reap the choicest physical blessings on the earth. And we see that throughout Britain and America and Canada and Australia. God wanted the descendants of Joseph to be like a city that is set on a hill that could not be hidden. This great nation, as we know, and the peoples of Great Britain have truly been blessed by God Almighty. But as was brought out in the announcements, it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. Moses almost quotes Jacob verbatim here in Deuteronomy 33:13-17. Before his death, Moses repeated this special blessing that would flow to Joseph's descendants. Deuteronomy 33:13-17. Moses said this. And of Joseph, he said, blessed of the eternal is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew, with the deep lines beneath, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months, with the blessed things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwells in the bush, let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of his head of him who has separated him from his brothers. Almost the same verbatim words. And in verse 17, his glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horn like the horns of the wild ox. Together with them he shall push the people to the ends of the earth. They are the, look at this, 10,000s of Ephraim and thousands of Manasseh. 10,000s of Ephraim and thousands, showing that Ephraim would be much, much greater than his brother. And it happened. And so, brethren, we can see more and more why this nation should be a thankful nation. Why it should be a thankful nation. God wanted to bless this great nation just like he wanted to bless the children of Israel. Let's take a look at some of the things that God wanted to do for Israel. In Deuteronomy 28, we'll read just a little bit of this. Deuteronomy 28, this is what God wanted to do for the children of Israel. 3-13. God says here, blessed shall you be in the city. And blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock. These are some great blessings, brethren. Blessed shall be your basket, and blessed shall be your knitting bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. How would you like to have those blessings? The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your eyes. Now, this is what God wanted. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hands to do. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you look at this, keep his commandments, keep the commandments of the Eternal your God, and walk in his ways. So these blessings are conditional, aren't they? Verse 10 of chapter 28. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal. And they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of good in the fruits of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land to which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. That's what God wanted. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the works of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord, there was a time when we used to do that. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. There was a time when the U.S. was the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So we see that there are conditions, aren't there, for blessings. Let's go back up to verse 1 and 2 of the same chapter. Verse 1 and 2. There are conditions for being blessed. Now it shall come to pass if you, look at this, diligently obey the voice of the Eternal your God. And look at this, observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you above all the nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. So we can see that blessings are conditional. Even with you and I, brethren, blessings are conditional. You know, we want God to bless us. The election, and Mr. Vernon has brought out, the election proves that. We want God to bless us, but we don't want to obey. Now, way back in 1863, Abraham Lincoln observed this of this great nation. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of the heavens. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. Abraham Lincoln observed this some 149 years ago. But as was brought out in the announcements, Mr. Lincoln brought this out, we have forgotten God. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated, he goes on to say, by unbroken success, we have become self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. To feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. That's where we came. That's where he observed we were 149 years ago. Where are we today? Mr. Lincoln, in the midst of America's worst war, says, unabashedly declaring that it is the duty of a nation, as well as the men, to own their dependency upon the overruling power of God, to confess our sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assuring hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord's. That's what Mr. Lincoln observed. By the way, this excerpt was taken from this magazine has some good stuff in it. The United States and Britain in Bible prophecy. So Thanksgiving Day, an annual national holiday in the United States, celebrating the harvest and other blessings of the past year. It originated in the autumn of 1621 when Plymouth Governor William Bradford invited neighboring Indians to join the Pilgrims for a 3-day festival of recreation and feasting in gratitude of the bounties of the season. Mr. Eichelberger told me that he went to a place this past Thanksgiving, and it was really interesting, and there was an interesting story that he shared with me. But he felt probably like an Indian there with the oh, me. But now, by the end of the 19th century, Thanksgiving Day had become an institution throughout the New England and was officially proclaimed as a national holiday by President Lincoln in 1863. The traditional feast of turkey and pumpkin pie. I like pecan pie myself. And ice cream, has since become indigenous, part of the national culture. Traditionally celebrated on the last Thursday of November, it was changed by the Act of Congress in 1941 to the fourth Thursday of that month. But I think Abraham Lincoln stated it best. I think he stated it best when he said, those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord's. I think he said it best. But we saw that there are conditions to being blessed, didn't we? And we've already read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15. Let's go back to Deuteronomy again and take a look at some conditions for not being blessed, for not obeying. Conditions for not obeying. And as we go through these, think around you and see if you know anyone in these situations. Deuteronomy 28, let's begin at verse 15. Conditions for not obeying. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall be you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your knitting bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursings, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hands to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doing in which you have forsaken me. This is not what God wanted for this great nation, for the children of Israel. Verse 21, the Lord will make the plagues cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scourging, and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. There are over 8 million Americans in premature disability. In other words, from the ages of about 30 till about 65, already disabled. Over 8 million people that are working age already disabled. Your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth, which is under you, shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain to powder and dust. From the heavens it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Verse 25, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way and one way against them and flee 7 ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. We've probably lost our last war. Bin Laden is dead, so we don't have to fight any more wars. Your carcass shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumor, with scabs, with itches from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. What this nation wants again is all the blessings. We want all the happiness. We want all the joy. We want all the peace. But we don't want obedience. We don't want to diligently obey. And we don't want to observe carefully. Now, what if Pharaoh's dream was dual? What if Pharaoh's dream was dual? In other words, what if the seven got and ugly cows pictured a famine of morality in this nation? What if? And what if, in other words, a breakdown of the family, that would be immoral, abortions on demand, children born in wedlock families, born out of wedlock, all of those are a breakdown of the society. And so what if there was a famine of morality in this nation? And what if the seven heads that were withered and thin and blighted by the east wind pictured an economic famine. An economic famine in this great nation. What if? Most of the economic prognosticators, as we heard in the announcements, have already told us that this nation is headed for an economic downturn. They call it a physical cliff. So what if? The story of Joseph is truly a Thanksgiving story. God was there when Joseph was sold by his brothers. God was there when Joseph was bought as a slave. God was there when Joseph was falsely accused by his master's wife. God was there when Joseph was thrown into prison, not knowing when or how he was going to be released. And God was there when Joseph was given the second most powerful position in all of Egypt. Joseph describes it best in Genesis 45, verse 7, when he said, God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your life by a great deliverance. So God was working in the life of Joseph. In spite of all the things that Joseph went through, God was working in the lives of Joseph, and God allowed those things to happen. God put it into the mind of Joseph to prepare for the time that was just ahead. We should always also be preparing, brethren, for the economic and the immoral famine that's just ahead. How do we do that? Well, the church has long taught that we should get out of debt and cut back. Prepare to set aside some monies. I think someone in here has a hole dug in their garage, and they've stuffed money down in this safe. Which side of the house do I need to find out? Which side of the garage is that in? But anyway, set aside some monies and store up some dry staples for the cliff that's coming. Also, after the election, I decided I was just going to cut the TV off. Not listen to talk radio anymore. Just study my Bible, read articles, listen to sermons. But that would be going a little bit overboard. But get out our Bibles more. Listen to more sermons. Go on the website. You can listen to sermon after sermon after sermon on the website. Get out a magazine or two and read it. Get our minds into what God is telling us. Put off Satan and put on Christ. Allow Christ to live more and more and more in us. That's how we prepare for a famine of morality and a famine of economy in this nation. In conclusion, let's go to Psalms 105. Here's a summary of some of the things that we've talked about today. Psalms 105. We'll read this together. Oh, give thanks to the Eternal. Joseph could truly say that, couldn't he? I wonder how Joseph felt when Pharaoh made him the second person in charge. Oh, give thanks unto the Eternal, call upon his name, Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms of praise. Talk of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the eternal. Seek the eternal in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works, his which he has done, his wonders, the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servants, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the eternal our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the words which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Way back when he made these promises to Joseph, we see the fruition of this in this great nation here today. For 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and he confirmed it to Jacob for a statue to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Cana as an allotment of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provisions of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with feathers. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Eternal tested him. The king sent and released him. The rulers of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their water into blood. He killed their fish. Their lands abound with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territories. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig trees and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation in their land and devoured the fruits of their ground. He also destroyed all the firstborn of their land, the firstborn of their strength. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering, and a fire was given in the night. The people asked, and he brought them quail, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rocks, and the waters gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the land of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. Joseph. Truly a thanksgiving story, brethren. God has truly blessed this great nation just as he had promised. But unless we repent individually and as a nation, which we're not going to do, as a nation, now we can, each one of us, can take it upon ourselves to draw closer to God, as I said, and get ready for the times that are ahead. But unless we repent as a nation, as Abraham Lincoln stated, our blessings are going to become, yes, our blessings, brethren, are going to become cursings. So let us, brethren, as God's people, heed the instructions that he gave to Joseph and store up spiritual and physical food for the famine that is predicted to befall this great nation. And so, brethren, I hope that you have a great rest of the Thanksgiving weekend.